Good morning, or whenever you're listening to this, here's what happened in AI and coding this week. And honestly, it was a lot, even by the standards of a field that has apparently decided that slow news week is not a concept it needs. Let's start with Anthropic, because they had a genuinely remarkable few days, and not in the way they would have chosen. Within the span of about 5 days in early April, Anthropic managed to leak itself twice. The first incident, details about a model called Claude Mythos, internal codename Capybara, ended up in a publicly accessible database due to a misconfigured storage setup. This is the model Anthropic has been deliberately holding back because of its cybersecurity capabilities. The thing they were most careful about releasing was the first thing to escape. 5 days later, source maps accidentally bundled into the Claude Code NPM package put roughly 500,000 lines of TypeScript into the wild. GitHub mirrored the code before Anthropic's takedown wave could even get going. And that wave, when it arrived, was a bit indiscriminate. Theo from T3.gg had his fork repository hit with a DMCA strike despite having changed exactly one word. One word. Theo's response was actually quite measured given the circumstances. He credited Anthropic for their open post-mortem culture. No scapegoating, genuine process reflection. But made the larger point that the whole closed-source strategy is now producing more damage than it prevents. His argument, with AI accelerated development, closed applications can now collapse 100 times faster than before. Gemini CLI, OpenCode, and Codex CLI have all opened their server-side components. Anthropic sends DMCA notices. The French channel IA et sa stratégie put it in more structural terms, describing what happened as a symptom of what they called a threshold of structural clarity. The point at which an organization ships faster than it can think about itself. At Anthropic, apparently, the internal target is 5 releases per person per day. That number does a lot of explanatory work. What the leak actually revealed was, depending on your perspective, either fascinating or mildly alarming. Nate Herc catalogued 85 slash commands in Claude Code, most of which the average user has never seen. The feature flags were the real draw. Dream mode, which does automatic memory consolidation in the background. Kairos, a background daemon running every 15 seconds with its own toolset and autodidactic memory consolidation. Everlast AI flagged this as the most technically interesting discovery in the whole leak. Auto mode, which uses ML to decide when it actually needs to ask for permission. And Buddy, a Tamagotchi-style companion with 18 animal species and rarity tiers, which was apparently confirmed on April the 1st, which is either a coincidence or very deliberate timing. There were also hints at Opus 4.7, Sonnet 4.8, and Mythos as the next model generation. Fireship packaged all of this as April Fool's satire, but still landed some real punches, particularly on the anti-distillation poison pills, which are fake tool calls designed to confuse anyone trying to copy the model, and an undercover mode that conceals Claude's iNHIs. Whether those are features or liabilities probably depends on who you ask. Melvinks and Theo independently looked at the code quality and reached the same verdict. Architecture around 6 out of 10, maintainability around 3 out of 10, God files running over 5,000 lines, more than 1,000 feature flags scattered across 250 files. A developer called Clacode ported the whole thing to Python in 2 hours and collected 50,000 GitHub stars. Separately, Anthropic announced that third-party tools like OpenClaw would no longer be covered under Pro and Max subscriptions from April the 4th. A move widely read as a response to the fact that people were getting something like 25 times the compute value they were paying for. Moving to model releases, because there was real substance here this week. Google's Gemma 4 was the open source story everyone was talking about, covered by The AI Grid, Tim Karambat, World of AI and AI, with Arnie among others. The family runs four variants, two ultralight edge models optimized for smartphones and Raspberry Pi, a 26 billion mixture of experts model with only about 3.8 billion active parameters, and a 31 billion dense model sitting at number three on LM Arena, Apache 2.0 license, over 140 languages, context windows up to 256,000 tokens, natively multimodal across text, image, audio, and video. The efficiency story is the real headline. The 31B model outperforms Qwen 3.5 at 397 billion parameters on benchmarks. That ratio is worth sitting with for a moment. Qwen 3.6 Plus also arrived with a 1 million token context window, 78.88 on SWE Bench, apparent superiority over Claude Opus 4.5 on front-end generation, and 50 cents per million input tokens. World of AI and Data Pizza reported that OpenAI has pulled the Sora app from stores. Compute costs, no monetization model, copyright problems, and is redirecting resources toward the AI super app and the coming model they're calling GPT-5.5 or SPUD, GPT-5.4. Thinking got an update, allowing interruption of the reasoning chain mid-process, which the Data Pizza team attributes to significant human feedback training work. On local and open source AI, Tim Karambat covered the 1-bit LLMs from Prism ML, their bonsai models. 14 times smaller than full precision equivalents, about 1 gigabyte of RAM for the 8 billion parameter version, 114 to 130 tokens per second on a MacBook Pro M4 Max, and still capable of multi-step tool calling, including web search, PDF generation, and PowerPoint creation with subagents. That last part is what makes it interesting, rather than just a curiosity. Google's TurboQuant algorithm compresses the KV cache to 3 bits with a 184,000 times faster setup and 8 times speed improvement on NVIDIA H100s. The iGrid noted this immediately hit memory chip manufacturers like Micron and Western Digital on the markets, which is a fairly direct illustration of how these research papers connect to the physical world. Nate Herc showed how to run Gemma 4 and Qwen models through Olima inside Claude Code, either to avoid rate limits or cut costs dramatically. He puts it at 50 to 100 times cheaper for low-stakes tasks. Sebastien Dubois released two Obsidian plugins, one for syncing remarkable notes into your vault and one called Transcriber that uses local Olama Vision models, demonstrated with GLM OCR, to convert handwritten notes to markdown without any data leaving your machine. The Claude Code tutorial ecosystem had a productive week off the back of the leak. Leon Van Zyl delivered a two-hour end-to-end tutorial covering PRD workflow, design system generation, sub-agent parallelization, and loop cron jobs. Mark Kashef highlighted two overlooked slash commands, Power Up as an interactive learning companion, and Insights, which generates an HTML report on your last 30 days of usage patterns and can chain into Obsidian and automated email summaries. World of AI catalogued hidden configuration options, including the cloud code, no Flickr flag, and hooks that fire at session start, before and after tool use, and after edits. Nate Herc's two token management videos are worth flagging. 18 hacks for context hygiene. MCP servers can cost up to 18,000 tokens per message. Keep your cloud.md under 200 lines. And a practical guide to running Claude Code on local Olima or free open router models. He also tested OpenAI's Codex plugin for Claude Code and found GPT 5.4 running 10 to 13 points ahead of Claude Opus on most coding benchmarks, at lower cost, with Codex's adversarial review skill catching real logic errors in Opus-generated code. On coding agents more broadly, Alex Finn spent weeks testing Hermes' agent against OpenClaw and came to a nuanced conclusion. Hermes is faster, more transparent. It shows every tool call in real time and builds reusable skills automatically after each task. Its fatal weakness is memory compaction, where it loses orientation and abandons tasks. OpenClaw is more stable and has significant developer resources behind it. Finn's recommendation, run both in parallel, connected via the agent communication protocol, with OpenClaw as orchestrator and Hermes handling specialized tasks. If one breaks, the other can repair it. Neural 9 introduced OpenCode as an open-source terminal agent with a notably better UI, granular permissions via OpenCode, .json, diff view with LSP integration, undo/redo, reasoning-level switching, and OLAMA integration. The Paperclip framework got substantial coverage this week from four different channels. AI, with Arnie, Julian Ivanov, Leon Van Zyl, and Tech with Tim. The concept: organize AI agents into hierarchical company structures. CEO agent delegates to engineer, researcher, script agent, SEO strategist, and so on, with GitHub commits and Vercel deployments running automatically. It runs via Docker on a VPS, hosting a template at around $7 a month. Nick Sarayev played the skeptic, and his critique is worth taking seriously. Paperclip reproduces classical corporate hierarchies, but AI systems are fundamentally different. They're parallelizable in ways humans aren't. 50 simultaneous agents synthesizing the same result would be more efficient than delegation by org chart. It's a fair structural point, even if the demos are genuinely impressive. Nate Jones analyzed 5 agent platforms against 3 quality criteria: persistent memory, editable artifacts, growing context. Even the best one he looked at only met 1.5 out of 3. He noted this didn't stop Wall Street from selling $285 billion of SaaS stock on the back of agent hype. His 3-layer architecture for DIY agents, knowledge store, agent recipes, scheduling loop, is a cleaner frame than most of what's being marketed right now. Kul Madin's adversarial development technique is one of the more practically useful things in this week's material. A generator agent writes code, a separate evaluator agent in a fresh session, no confirmation bias, assesses it against pre-negotiated criteria, and gives feedback up to 3 times before the next sprint begins. Built in about 4 hours with Claude Sonnet 3.5, repository publicly available. The insight that agentic systems are 80% back-end architecture and 20% AI, drawn from Nate Jones's analysis of the leaked Claude Code codebase, pairs well with this. The glamorous part is the smaller part. Brian Kasel made a point about restraint, the discipline to choose focus over capability, as the one skill AI can't replicate. Every major coding tool has now standardized on plan mode, but the strategic shaping conversation that happens before planning remains human work. It's a modest claim, but probably correct. On the infrastructure side, Nate Jones covered the helium supply situation, which sounds obscure until you follow the chain. Qatar produced about 1/3 of global helium supply. Rocket damage to the Rosslyn facility there sent spot prices immediately doubling. HBM memory was already sold out, and TSMC holds 11 days of liquid natural gas reserves. The Mistral AI $830 million financing from 7 European banks, which IAET Strategy analyzed, connects here. Those banks accepted NVIDIA Blackwell GPUs as collateral. The first time traditional European banks have treated processors as bankable assets. The argument is that compute capacity has become strategic reserve material, not operating cost. Whether that framing holds depends on whether the supply constraints persist, but it's a real shift in how the financial system is thinking about this infrastructure. A few things in brief. Liam Fiedas, co-creator of ChatGPT, is building periodic labs, an AI foundation model for materials science, combining language models with symmetry-aware neural networks for atomic systems. Google Stitch got a Vibe design update. Simone Rizzo demonstrated the export to Claude Code via MCP, generating a complete React app from a text prompt in 15 minutes. Tech with Tim replaced Lovable with Mocha, an AI app builder with integrated auth, database, and email without external configuration. DeepSeek version 4 is expected to run natively on Huawei Ascend chips, strategically significant as the first frontier AI on domestic Chinese hardware, which has prompted large orders from Alibaba, ByteDance, and Tencent. And Fireship covered a real supply chain attack on Axios, 100 million weekly NPM downloads, where two infected versions contained a remote access Trojan that deleted itself after execution and passed NPM audit without warnings. The week ended, as many weeks do now, with some large questions about what any of this means. Dario Amodei's prediction that AI could eliminate up to 50% of entry-level white-collar jobs and push unemployment to 10 to 20% got the AI grid's attention, supported by Stanford's Canaries study showing a 13% employment decline for 22 to 25-year-olds in AI-exposed roles. Tim Karambat pushed back on AGI claims from Altman, Huang, and others by pointing to RCAGI3 benchmarks, where a simple CNN from a single researcher beat modern LLMs. His read, "The GPT paradigm has reached its limit, and AGI requires a fundamentally different architecture." David Shapiro was working through what he calls the assumption of the indispensability of labor, the cultural doxa that ties human dignity to productivity, and arguing that the crisis AI creates isn't primarily economic, but existential. Both the Western productivity model and the Eastern collective model are being destabilized simultaneously, and neither has an obvious answer ready. What ties this week together, if anything does, is the gap between the speed of production and the capacity for reflection. Anthropic leaked itself twice in 5 days because the organization is shipping faster than it can think about what it's shipping. The agent platforms that scored 1.5 out of 3 on basic quality criteria are attracting hundreds of billions in market movement. The helium supply chain that nobody was watching turns out to underpin the entire semiconductor stack. The week's lesson, if there is one, is that the infrastructure of this moment is more fragile and more interconnected than the demos suggest, and that the interesting work is increasingly in understanding the plumbing, not the interface.